31, verses 8 and 9 says this, "Open your mouth for the dumb, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy." Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and I'm the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio, along with a host of other outlets, as we share the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him, and we speak the truth in love. Well, you may have seen on the news that the House voted last night. They voted on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. That passed that doctors would be forced to save the lives of babies who survive abortions, which is quite a few that do that. We had Gianna Jessen in our church some years ago, and her mother tried to abort her through a chemical abortion. It caused her to have cerebral palsy, but she survived, and she is a strong witness for the pro-life cause and says, hey, let me live. And you know, I'm so glad that abortion didn't work because I've gotten to live my life. Well, that bill came. It seems like it's a no-brainer. It would pass 100%, and it barely passed, 220 to 210, and all the 210 votes against the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act were Democrats. Every single Democrat, save one who voted present, voted against this Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. It's just unconscionable to think that people would miss this and say, yeah, we don't want to protect babies. If the mother wants to abort the baby, then we need to follow through on that desire, and if the baby somehow doesn't die in the womb, we need to be able to kill that baby outside of the womb or not provide any help for the baby and just watch the baby die a horrible death. Now, in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31, it starts off this way, "The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him." Who is King Lemuel? Well, some Bible scholars say that's a pet name that Bathsheba had for her son Solomon, and she is giving counsel to him. And when she says, "Open your mouth for the dumb, for the rights of all the unfortunate," the dumb are not the people that have a low IQ. She's talking about the people that can't speak. "Open your mouth for those who can't speak, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy." Now, there is no one more afflicted and more needy and more unable to defend themselves or speak up for themselves than the unborn. And so we are to open our mouths for those who cannot speak. We hear a lot about social justice, and we hear people saying, well, you know, there's injustice, and injustice, or however the phrase goes, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere, or something like that. And you have all the people that were marching in the streets, and no justice, no peace, and, you know, if they see injustice somewhere, they're going to burn down the city, that kind of attitude, which is totally opposite from anything that the Bible would teach. But here's the thing, the irony of all this. So these activists, when you talk to them about abortion, well, almost all of them are pro-abortion. And if you're a Black Lives Matter person, you would have to say, well, if Black Lives Matter, and they do, my granddaughter is Black. Her life matters as much as anybody's life matters. If Black Lives Matter, then let's go to where the Black lives are being exterminated on a huge scale, and that's in the abortion clinic. I was reading an article this morning by Gary Franks. He's a U.S. representative from Connecticut. He was New England's first Black member of the House. He wrote this in January 2022, and he said nearly 40% of U.S. abortions since Roe v. Wade are black people, little black babies and girls. 20 million plus black boys and girls, they've been murdered since Roe v. Wade, murdered in the womb. I said black babies and girls, I meant black boys and girls. So 40% of all abortions coming from the black community, while black people make up, this is what he said, 14% of the United States. So you have a relatively small percentage of people that make up, you know, the whole in the United States. 14% of the United States is made up of black people, yet you have 40% of all abortions coming from the black community. Well, he makes the argument that this is genocide against black people. This is, you talk about racism, this is tremendous racism. And anybody that knows anything about Planned Parenthood knows that the founder, Margaret Sanger, she wrote about what she called, quote unquote, the Negro problem. And she wanted to work through black leaders to accomplish her birth control mission to weed out the unfit. And that's what she said and felt and believed about black people. They were unfit. Gary Franks, in his article, says, isn't it interesting that most of the Planned Parenthood facilities are in the black community? I mean, this has been embedded into this organization from day one, from the heart of the founder. And even Planned Parenthood has tried to distance itself from their founder, Margaret Sanger, because how do you defend that? Well, that is racism to the nth degree. And listen, we are called to speak for those who can't speak. We're called to stand up for the rights of the unfortunate. Hey, you wanna pick up a cause that where there is injustice? Well, there's nobody being treated more unjustly than an unborn baby, and especially an unborn black baby, because that's the target. And if you have nearly 40% of all abortions coming in that to that people group in the black community, that is targeted to them and against them, just like Margaret Sanger wanted it to be. And so here's the irony and the things that I don't understand. I tweeted this yesterday because Bo Snerdly pointed out, you know, who voted, and 210 Democrats all voted against the Born Alive Protection Act, which is just like shocking. And So he said that, and I responded, and I said, how does anyone who calls themselves a Christian, how can anyone say, well, hey, it's good to support this, and there are a lot of other issues at stake, and you can't just hang your hat on abortion. You know, you can't be a one-issue voter. I wrote this. I said, this is the party of the Democratic Party, the party of murder and death. How any Christian can justify voting for this unparalleled evil is beyond reason or scripture. Hey, it makes me sick when you have pastors and leaders in the evangelical movement that try and give cover for people that want to vote for a Democrat, and they say, well, you know, you can't be one issue voter. You got to look at other things. I have said this many times, said it from the pulpit in our church. You know, there were issues, no doubt, issues on the Titanic where people could have complained. Maybe the soup was too salty at dinner. Maybe the laundry service wasn't quick enough, or maybe the towels weren't as fresh as they should have been. I mean, there were things that you could complain about. This wasn't right, that wasn't right. But all of that paled in comparison to the fact that there is a hole in the side of the hole, and we are going down. And so who cares if the soup is too salty? Who cares about this? Who cares about that? The ship has a hole in it and it's sinking. Hey, the hole in the ship of America is abortion. And God has made it clear in his word that he will judge that. And so, you know, you think about, well, did they have abortion in the Old Testament? They did. And but it was infanticide. They had the baby come out of the womb, and then they would offer that baby to the false god of Molech, and they calls that passing your sons, your daughters, through the fire. Listen to what God says about that in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 35. He says this, "And they built the high places of Baal that are in the valley of Ben-Hinnom to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I had not commanded them, nor had it entered my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin." I mean, God, he says, that never even entered my mind. Now, God knows all things, so he's speaking somewhat poetically there, but he's saying that that was so far out of bounds that I didn't even think that they would ever do something like that, something so abominable. And the scripture goes on to say in 2 Chronicles about Manasseh, it teaches us about King Manasseh. He was king, the longest reigning king in Israel. And 2 Chronicles chapter 33, it tells us about his life. It says he was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. Why did God kick the people out of the land and give it to Israel? Because of their abominations. And it says of Manasseh, he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. He also erected altars for the Baals and made Asherim and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name shall be in Jerusalem forever." He built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. This is idolatry on steroids and really provoking the Lord to anger and wrath. And it says, "And he made his sons pass through the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, and he practiced witchcraft, used divination, practiced sorcery, and dealt with mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger." He sacrificed his sons in the fire. Now, the god of Molech, or the god Molech, the evil deity that they had, that they worshipped in Canaan, is this god. You might have seen pictures of this god. It's this big, big figure, and the hands are outstretched, and the belly is where they would have the fire, and they would put their sons and their daughters in the arms of this thing, this deity, and then the fire would consume the little baby, the little boy or girl. And that was called making your sons, your daughters pass through the fire. And God called it an abomination. And he said, because of that, destruction is coming to Jerusalem. And it did come in 586 BC when God let Nebuchadnezzar come in and wipe the city off the map, so to speak. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about the issue of abortion as the House passed the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. It should have been passed 100-0, 100% to zero, and it wasn't. It was close. It was 220-210, and we have gone to a new level in depravity in America. But we can make a change and we can make a difference as we stand in the gap. So we're going to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman. Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
A charitable gift annuity is a gift to American Family Association. Not only are you giving to the Lord's work, but you'll receive a lifetime income and excellent tax benefits.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Mom is a face washer, a coupon clipper, and a listening ear. She's a diaper changer, a laundry folder, and a mender of hearts. She's a master juggler of the jobs of the day. She's simply incredible. And incredibly busy. At 1 Million Moms, we understand the hurried pace of the average mom. That's why we've made it so easy for you to take a stand against the trash that's in today's media. Visit 1millionmoms.com.
Isaiah says, "We shall beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall we study war anymore." And I believe that day is definitely coming, that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will bring us prosperity, harmony, but that's not the world we live in yet.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the issue of abortion and the vote last night in the House for the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. 220 Republicans voted for it to protect the lives of babies who survive abortion. And every single Democrat, save one who voted present, voted against it. And one of the guys who spoke out for the Democrats, Jerry Nadler, he insisted that the act was dangerous for infants. It just blows me away that someone could try and make the argument that trying to protect the life of a baby that's born alive after that baby survived an abortion, that to pass this Born Alive Survivor Protection Act would be dangerous for infants. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, it's almost hard to wrap your brain around. How can someone say something so idiotic? But Romans chapter 1, verse 28, "And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, a reprobate mind." What is a reprobate, depraved mind? It's a mind that no longer functions. It's a mind that makes the case that, you know, gender is not fixed and biological males can become female and biological females can become male. That's a mind that doesn't work anymore. You just believe all sorts of idiotic things. As it says in verse 22, and we see examples of this every single day, professing to be wise, they became fools. Jerry Nadler, I don't know the guy, but what a foolish, foolish thing to say. You know, Biden's press secretary, she just says foolish things day after day after day after day. It's just sickening. And that's the world in which we live in. So here's the good news. That's the bad news. But here's the good news. So we were talking about King Manasseh, king for 55 years. King Manasseh is the one, tradition tells us, who had Isaiah put into a hollow log and sawn in two. This is a wicked, wicked guy. So he has his sons pass through the fire in the Valley of Ben-Hinnom. The Valley of Ben-Hinnom became the garbage dump in Israel, and we know it as Gehenna. And that's where they would burn the refuse. That's what God did to that valley where they would offer their sons, their daughters, to the false god Molech. He turned it into a garbage dump. They provoked the Lord to anger, and he said, hey, they did things that never even entered my mind, this abomination, so far beyond the pale. But Manasseh didn't stop there. It says in 2 Chronicles 33, verse 7, then he put the carved image of the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Can you imagine? You put an idol in the temple, in the house of God, in Solomon's temple. And I will not again remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for your fathers, if only they will observe to do all that I have commanded them according to all the law, the statutes, and the ordinances given through Moses. Thus Manasseh misled Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the sons of Israel. They're now more wicked than the Canaanites who lived in the land that the Lord dispossessed so Israel could live there. And it says, and the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. He brought prophets to speak to them, but they paid no attention. Therefore, because if you blow God off and you blow off the warnings, therefore, the Lord brought the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria against them, and they captured Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze chains, and took him to Babylon. This is bad for Manasseh, obviously. And when, here's the great news. I preached a sermon on Manasseh some years ago, and I called it something like never too bad to forgive. It says, and when he was in distress, he entreated the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, God was moved by his entreaty and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem, to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Can you imagine? He has done all this evil. He led the people astray. It was the sins of Manasseh that brought destruction upon the land in 586 BC. Because God said, that's it, the judgment is coming. I don't care what they do, judgment is coming because of his sins. But Manasseh personally could repent and get his heart right with God, and the Lord would forgive him. That's amazing. And so that brings up the good news. You know, anytime I talk about abortion, I rail against the evils of abortion because it is so evil. It is murder in the worst degree that you would take this precious little boy, this little girl being woven together in the womb by God, and rip that baby apart. It's just awful. And I will always speak out against that because that is murder in the worst degree. And it is so foreign to God and is so against the scripture. It's so against what God is doing. It violates the Ten Commandments. You shall not murder. But here's the good news, and here's the other side of that coin. What do you do if you're a woman or somebody who participated in an abortion? Can you ever be forgiven? And the answer is yes. Yes. If God forgave Manasseh for killing his kids and all the evil that he did, and how many lives he led astray. If he forgave him, then God can forgive you. And you're never beyond the pale when it comes to the forgiveness of God. And when you, in distress, when you get honest about your sin, when you honestly look in the mirror and say, this is where I am, and you come to your senses as the prodigal son did, then you can deal with your sin and you can get up and leave the pigsty of sin and you can be reconciled to your father and you can find his arms open wide. The Apostle Paul said he was solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of two things, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we preach, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, you don't have to repent in order to get saved. Yes, you do. Because without repentance, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So it's those two things, and they're wrapped together, and they're used interchangeably. Believe on the Lord Jesus and repent. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that word in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it's obviously referring to repentance and faith. So those words are used, and they just assume the other because they are inseparably linked, repentance and faith. John the Baptist went out, and what was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus went out, and what was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The exact same message. Now, John the Baptist was preparing the way. And when Jesus came on the scene, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus said, hey, unless you believe I am he, you will all die in your sins. So John pointed to Jesus, and Jesus said, I'm the one. And I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. I was reading an article on Fox News about this Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. And they had a link to this lady named Kaya Jones, and she was a singer with the Pussycat Dolls, and she's come to Christ, and she warns women. She said, I've had three abortions before coming to Christ, and she said, women, you will regret it your whole life. She said, I was chained and bonded to the devil before I came to Christ, and I killed my three children through abortion, but she was forgiven. She was washed white as snow. But hey, she said, still, I have to live with the fact that I did that. And so her testimony, don't do it. You will regret it your whole life. But the good news that we have to share with anyone for any sin is that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And no matter what you've done, as Samuel told the people, you have done all this evil. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. And you can be made whole. That's the gospel story. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Listen, we all deserve judgment and condemnation and separation from God forever and ever and ever. And that's why God sent his son into the world. I was reading today in Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2, what a great passage of scripture. And what does the scripture say? And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power, the air of the spirit, that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And listen to this, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. You hear people say all the time, well, you know, we're all children of God. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're born into this world and we're born in sin. David said, in sin, my mother conceived me. We're born sinners, and we're sinners by birth, sinners by choice, sinners by nature, sinners by practice, sinners four times over, and we were children of wrath, even as the rest. but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hey, there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need to stand firm on the issues that intersect politics and morality, and they're getting more and more entwined every single day. And the issue of abortion is a moral issue, and every pastor and every Christian needs to stand up and speak up for those who can't speak, the unborn, and protect them with all that they have. And don't ever vote. I've said this before. I wouldn't vote for my own mother if she were pro-abortion. I would never want to put a person like that in any kind of position of authority. That speaks volumes about the character of that person, that they would have such disregard for the life of an innocent little baby in the womb. And so we need to fight for the unborn. And God bless those that voted last night, the 220 that voted for the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, and may God bring tremendous conviction into the hearts of those 210 who voted against it. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you about this important issue, and you know, the battle against abortion is not over just because of the June 24th decision from the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade. That didn't outlaw abortion in America. That just kicked it back to the states. It was a great victory, but kicked it back to the states. And the states that are conservative, states like Texas and others, they are going to have hard laws against abortion. Other states like California, they're going to be sanctuary cities to kill the unborn. And Governor Newsom, if you saw in the billboard ad campaign, he even used the words of Jesus to try and say that, you know, abortion is something that the Lord is for, and because we love our neighbor, we're going to offer abortions to people and help them kill their unborn child. It's just sickening. And John MacArthur, if you've been keeping up, John MacArthur asked his church to be praying specifically for Gavin Newsom, because he said that guy is putting himself in the crosshairs of judgment. And when you take the words of Jesus and you try and use them to support sin and to support murder, you're treading on thin ice. You know, I think about Nadab and Abihu. Leviticus chapter 10, Nadab and Abihu, nephews of Moses, the sons of Aaron. They had just been consecrated as the high priests, and the priestly line coming from Aaron. They burned strange fire before the Lord, and fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. They were killed, because you don't mess with the things of God. Those are special, sacred things. It's just like the Lord's Supper. When you celebrate the Lord's Supper, if you do it in an unworthy manner, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to the Corinthians, some of you are coming to the Lord's Supper drunk, and he said you're coming with a heart that's filled with sin, and for this reason, some among you are weak and sick, and some are dead, because you don't mess with the Lord's things. Those things that are special and precious to him. And what is the Lord's Supper? It's how we proclaim his death until he comes. And there's nothing more precious to God the Father than the death of his Son to purchase the salvation of all those who will repent and believe. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And the phone lines are open, and as soon as we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. 888-589-8840, and I'd love to talk to you about this issue of abortion. And I appreciate American Family Radio and American Family Association, because they stand for life and they speak up for the rights of those who cannot speak. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with your calls. Don't go away.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Sometimes you see a win, a glimpse of God in this broken world. Preborn rejoices in the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Preborn's mission is to love and help women in unplanned pregnancies by offering them the truth to help them make the right choice by providing free ultrasounds. You see, when an expectant mom hears her baby's heartbeat and sees the image of her baby on ultrasound, she's seeing a life created in God's image, and it's a divine connection.
And I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here from First Baptist Texarkana. And we are talking about the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act that was voted on last night by the House. Passed 220 to 210. All of the 210 votes against it were Democrats. I said something incorrect, and my producer Jay helped me with this. But there was one Democrat from Texas, Henry Cuellar, however you say his name, Cuellar. He was the lone Democrat to support the measure, while Republican Vicente Gonzalez, also from Texas, he voted present. So he didn't take a stand, but the other guy did vote for it. Good for him. But 210 Democrats voted against it, which is just unbelievable. It seemed like everybody would be for protecting the life of a born child that is struggling to live. So the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. And we have Cynthia on the line from Texas. And Cynthia, you have a story to tell. And so welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have a friend who in high school and after had, I know two, but I think there were three abortions that she had in total because she was just afraid of being alone and she was with these guys who weren't worthy and she didn't want to be a single mom and she had all these, she couldn't afford it. So she did that three times and two or three, I'm not too sure, but the ramifications that it has on her now are devastating. She is crushed by it every day. She feels that she's going to hell every day because of this bloodshed on her hands with her children for doing this. And she knows the Lord now, but it's still devastating to her. And it's heartbreaking because she does have a daughter, and she's so beautiful. And she feels like, you know, she could have had two more of those little girls. And, or possibly three, maybe a son or something, you know?
Yeah.
And her daughter's helped her so much now in life. And these young women or even women in general, just don't know the effects that it's going to have on them later in their life or even right after, you know? And it's just devastating that somebody could vote for this act, and I just pray that we can come together and realize what is happening, because not only is it detrimental, I mean, it ends the life of a child, but it's so devastating for the mother to go through something so horrific.
It is. People, you know, the sad thing is that they don't think it through, and they might be, you know, very young, teenager or early 20s, and they just feel like, I just can't handle this now. This is the easy way out. But the easy way out ends up being a hard way for the rest of your life, because you have to deal with that. And so I remember hearing the testimony of Carol Everett. She ran two abortion clinics in Dallas, and she was on Focus on the Family. This was years ago, and she was involved in the murders of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids. And she said she made $25 for every abortion. So she said, what was my incentive in that abortion counseling room? It was to get that girl to have an abortion, because that was another $25 for me. And so... Wow. So she was, I mean, they were doing hundreds at these abortion clinics every month. And so then she came to Christ. She finally, like the prodigal, she came to her senses, and she came to Christ, and now she's an advocate against abortion. But I've often thought, Cynthia, that, you know, she has to deal with the guilt of that. And here's the wonderful thing, because I know we have listeners out there, and maybe your sin wasn't abortion, but maybe your sin was so horrific, and it damaged lives. It damaged your children. I have a good friend of mine. He's in heaven now, but he had a torrid love affair and left his wife and left his kids, and it just destroyed his little girl and destroyed her life, and she became a lesbian and just rebellious, and he had to deal with that. And, you know, it was before his face every day. You know, this is what I did to my little girl. Here's the thing. God doesn't want us to live in guilt and shame. I always go back to the woman in Luke 7, the prostitute who wept at Jesus' feet. She was guilty, no doubt, of terrible, horrible things. She was covered in the slimy fingerprints of sin. And Jesus said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He doesn't say go in guilt. He doesn't say go in shame. He doesn't say, hey, you're Hester Prynne. Here's this scarlet A for abortion on your chest that you have to wear the rest of your life. Here's a scarlet A for adulteress. He doesn't say any of that. He says go in peace. And in 1 John chapter 1, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. A-L-L, all sin. And we can go in peace. And I would just encourage anyone listening, if you had an abortion or there's some other sin that the devil uses like a big billy club to beat you over the head with, something that you did last month, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever it is, just remember this. When the devil brings it up to you, this is what you did. You are such a horrible, rotten, terrible person. God could never forgive you. All those lies. You just look at that situation and you say, that's right, I did that. And that was horrible. But Jesus died on the cross for that sin. And get a picture of Jesus on the cross dying for your sin. Jesus died for me, and he died for that sin specifically. And I have put my faith and trust in Jesus. I have turned from sin and trusted him, and he has washed me white as snow. And what I have found, Cynthia, when people do that, you can take what the devil tries to beat you up with and to make you feel horrible and guilty and ashamed, you can turn that around and turn that into a time of praising the Lord for his mercy, for his grace, for his blood that washes white as snow. One of the dangers in the Christian life is we elevate our sin above the blood of God's Son. There is nothing more powerful than the blood of God's Son. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so we can still, no matter what we've done, we can come to him and we can be forgiven and we can hold our heads up high and be a witness, as Carol Everett is a witness, as your friend can be a witness, as Kaya Jones, the Pussycat Dolls singer, is now a witness, and she warns women, don't do what I did, because it will leave scars. And so God can take what the devil meant for evil, he can take it and use it for good. So thank you so much for calling in, Cynthia, and thank you for sharing that. And we do want to warn women, don't go that way. God does forgive, but you don't want to do it, because so much better to not step on that landmine and blow your legs off, knowing that God can forgive. Your legs don't grow back. And so steer clear of sin. Don't jump into it. So we have Ron from Michigan on the line. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Thanks for taking my call. Just to make a comment, I too saw the video clip of Jerry Nadler, and then there was also one other Democrat, I don't remember if she was a senator, trying to make this, that this is in the best interest of the baby. Abortionists have long tried to make something which is outright murder, something so horrific that it's in the best interest, really, of the baby. Because after all, think of the life. They'll never have a good life if they're born into a large family, low-income family. And if I may, Pastor Jeff, I have a book. It's written by Randy Alcorn, mm-hmm. and it's entitled Pro-Life Answers to Pro-Choice Arguments. He and his wife were talking about this and with some pro-abortion activists, and they made the comment that, well, the baby would never stand a chance, never have a good life, born with three strikes against them from the beginning. And it was Randy's wife that actually said, well, then let's go get some guns, a couple of guns, and go into this neighborhood and let's shoot them, those right. that have lived, and put them out of their misery. So the answer for pro-abortion activists is to take away the one chance, the one life that this baby would have. I just go back to John in the book of John. I'm trying to remember the chapter, but where our Lord said that the devil is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. Mm-hmm. He's the father of lies, right. and there is no truth in him. And yeah. when those try to make this out to be the best interest of the baby, it's a flat-out lie.
Yes. Yeah, John 8:44. You're exactly right, Ron. And it's just, it's almost laughable when someone tries to do that, except it's so pitiful that that you could have a person that blind that either they are just a shill for the cause or they really believe that. That's just sickening, obviously. If you kill someone, I'm not doing this for your good, because that person would say, hey, if I get a choice in this, how about you don't kill me? Let's go with that one. So I appreciate you calling. And Randy Alcorn has been a guest on this program before, and a tremendous author. I've been blessed by his books. And so, Ron, tell us the name of that book again.
Pro-Life Answers to Pro-Choice Arguments.
Okay.
It is, in my opinion, Pastor Jeff, the ultimate book to answering the arguments of abortionists.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you, Ron. Thank you for calling in. Charles from Ohio is on the line. Charles, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, for your ministry.
Thank you, sir.
The horrificness of abortion is seen in the laws that God has given. The first law God gave to the human race was to Adam. The second, he was not to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God did not give another law to the human race until over 1,600 years later, when Noah came off the ark. And the law was, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. God did not give another law until some 800 years later. And this is codified in the Ten Commandments, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit premeditated murder. And right after giving the Ten Commandments, he gave Lex Talionis, where two men are fighting, a woman is harmed in the process, and here it is. God says, whatever happened to that infant in the womb, if that baby is harmed, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Just the way God gave the laws is a clear indication that the murder of babies is the most horrific act that a human being can possibly do. Thank you.
Amen. Charles, thank you for that. That was very, very good and very helpful. It's unbelievable. How horrible that is to rip a person apart piece by piece, and thinking that you're somehow doing a good thing by that. It's just awful. Well, we're almost running out of time, but Larry in North Carolina. Larry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. I follow you on Twitter and listen to you in the mornings as well.
Thank you, sir.
And I appreciate the fact that you tackle current events and you're not afraid to talk about things that more pulpits need to be preaching on. And I just wanted to say that it's not just the women who suffer from abortion. When I was 18 years old, I got a girl pregnant who was in her 20s, and I paid her to have an abortion. This was 2 years before I got saved. But there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about the child that I would have. Of course, they would be grown by now. That was way back in 1976.
Yeah,
but it affects men as well, and I just find it so hard to believe that the Democrats are so hard-hearted when it comes to children like this.
Yeah, it's just sickening. Thank you for that, Larry. Thank you for calling in, and we do just want to emphasize there is forgiveness in the Lord. Psalm 32, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. And so God is a good God, and His blood, the blood of His Son, washes white as snow. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Hey, go out today, make a difference, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And He will use you as His witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.